news I gained just yesterday dismayed all that I learned. The emptiness of life examined.
Hello out there, and welcome to another episode of Things I Learned While Learning Other Things. This is an attempt by me, Joe Morahan, and my brother JS, to provide you with a series of interesting, informative, educational, and yet we do hope enjoyable stories that will help you navigate through those high seas of life. We have been discussing in recent podcasts the subject of utopia, the perfect society. And specifically, we've been focusing on, or at least we've introduced the idea, that St. Thomas More in 1516 had some plans for a utopic society. Whenever we hear of perfect societies being planned, my thought would be run for the hills, sprout those Jesus wings, get out of Dodge, bad stuff is on its way. Egalitarianism, everything will be more harmonious. Just trust us. Whoa. We're going to go back to 1516 and look at more about Thomas More's utopia, that perfect society. But we're going to introduce it slowly because let me tell you, this guy assessed what it took for a perfect society in granular detail. And St. Thomas More definitely exhibited some rather, I would say, distinctive eccentricities that he would make a matter of routine in his utopia. By way of comparison, in my utopia, for example, I would never, not in a million years, have ever given an iota of thought to the idea that everybody would be issued and have use of a pure golden chamber pot in which to do our business. I mean, this would just never have occurred to me, though it did to Thomas More. And I find that interesting. Well, no, that is not true. I find it more than interesting. I find it extremely weird. And we're just going to get started. More also thought that it was only fair that in his utopia, that both a bride-to-be and a groom-to-be should know that they what they exactly would be getting into should they hook up. And that is both the man and the woman would have an equal right prior to any wedding vows legally be exchanged to a complete and thorough all body and orifice inspection of their fully naked spouse-to-be. Now, it's not clear to me from my reading over the years whether both the intended were entitled to what we might classify as a voyeur's quick peek, or whether the inspection would rival in its thoroughness, say, an Upton Sinclair-like full meat plant inspection, you know, both gynecological as would be needed to assess the female intended and the proper full mechanical functioning test of the male intended, no matter how the means of that assessment might be achieved. More didn't go into that detail, and I can't find it. Not that I've looked that hard, but one must, I guess, just accept that this full naked inspection might resemble 1940s, 1950s Mickey Spillane, you know, Mike Hammer, full stark naked type probe. And whenever such probe involved a naked woman, we must, you know, or best remember Spillane's observation through Mike that too many times naked women and death walked side by side. Okay, but More's utopic law in 1516 involving naked women, and this should, you know, More's law should never be confused with Moore's law circa 1970 and beyond involving the exponential growth of computer power. More's law was a true right. The right to look under the hood, though without the benefit of a lemon law, prior to wedding vows being taken. And this was meant to minimize the number of surprises at consummation. And I guess this is hard to argue with. Who wouldn't want a free look? You know, such intimate observation rights were simply, you know, kind of a late, and this might be a stretch, but you know, sort of like a late Middle Ages version of, you know, modern test drives and catch and release practices so common among environmental enthusiasts as they interfere with fishing. But it's worth noting that in those early days of Tudor England in 1516, there existed, shocking as this may be to modern American progressives, that only males and females existed within the human species. Now we know that there are at least 72 genders. Facebook tells us this. And you know this despite the fact that the HR department of ABC News, I've learned those barbarians, they will recognize the existence of only 58 genders amongst the human species the last time I checked. They did not realize back then, during Thomas More's time, that men can menstruate too. The idea, you know, that Henry VIII might have two mommies wouldn't have flown. It wouldn't have flown in Tudor England, nor was it anticipated in More's 1516 version of Utopia. These concepts would have been too much for a man, even a man as liberated as Thomas More, and absolutely, I am sure, would have infuriated and without a doubt blown the mind of Henry VIII, whom would have tolerated no such nonsense inside his kingdom. And he ruled with an iron fist, as we will later see. In Thomas More's enlightened, paradisial, perfect society of utopia, there wasn't any of this LGBTQIA as a protected class, you know, nonsense either. No, in his utopia, males and females check out each other's gear ahead of time. It's a go or no-go scenario. There's no half measures. More's utopia operated under the same principles in 1516 as do modern ER rooms, emergency rooms. You know, the way they operate, when an ambulance rushes in a car accident victim, or in America, just as likely, a gunshot victim, the body is tossed on the surgical table. The medical staff goes to work to perform miracles. They tear off the bleeding victim's clothing, and they go to work to save the patient's life. Now, there may be 72 genders according to Facebook, but in an ER environment where seconds might make the difference between life or death, there is simply no time for PC nonsense. If the victim has a penis, they are treated as a male. If the patient has a vagina, they are treated as a female. In Thomas More's utopia, the same doctrines applied. None of this today. You know, today I feel asexual, or, you know, today I'm a furry. There would be no such bullshit, no such surprises in Thomas More's utopia. Get naked, get real. It's time for an inspection. You know, St. Thomas More did understand the irresistible strength of the primal impulse of humans to mate and fornicate. He did. He got it. Predating Freud by nearly four centuries. And foretelling pedophilia would remain an eternal problem for the Catholic Church and priests if these men were provided no legal means of release. More's utopia permitted priests to be given the freedom and the right to marry. Now there, by the way, there was a heresy, if I've ever heard one. Priests can get married. You know, 508 years later, pedophilia, the priesthood, it remains a problem for the Catholic Church. You know, there have been 266 popes over the past two millennia, and they have faced this problem of priestly pedophile perversion, and yet not a single one of them, not a single pope, not one of the red-shoed, wearing, you know, papal guardians of the faith has deigned, has thought it necessary to pronounce, you know, guys, hey, guess what? Let's end all this potential for perversity. Protect the children of our flock. Let's allow our guys to get married. No, this thought has never occurred to a pope, not one of them. But Thomas More was way, way over his skis as respects his priestly marriage rights when they were permitted in Utopia in 1516. Though he was onto something, surely right on this issue, 508 years of history, 516 years of history, and counting, ahead of papal thinking as to how to reduce child sexual abuse by the clergy. Still, the Vatican is silent. You know, despite Thomas More's need to revert on occasion, you know, as he had in writing, to employing rather harsh measures for ideological opponents or upon ideological opponents and non-believers alike, Thomas More apparently felt otherwise, and he took exception to the Catholic Church, and he believed in the concept of human dignity, and he had a desire to otherwise relieve males and females, 100% of the species, of the potential for needless, unimaginable suffering. Yeah, he did. Thus, Thomas More's Utopia allowed euthanasia. It would be legal in Utopia in 1516. Again, this was and is heresy on More's part. There's no getting around it. Even the current pope is adamant that fatally ill, sick, and dying people, they must endure. They must suffer for as long as they can take it, to the ultimate bitter end. I mean, this is complete garbage, complete nonsense. So let's see if I get this. Humans, then, in Thomas More's Utopia, St. Thomas More's Utopia, as he conceived it in early Tudor England in 1516, they were to be provided relief from pain. That we now, in the year of our Lord 2024, make available, not to our loved ones, but only to our pets, to whom we merely serve as guardians, not owners, never as owners, of course. But still, in our concern that our beloved pets not endure unending pain, we show them mercy and put them down. As to our fellow human relations, no. They must be kept alive to experience all the wonders of unimaginable suffering and torturous pain till the final expiry. Five millennia after Thomas More, for strange, I mean, just strange religious reasons, we still force fellow suffering human beings of all 72 genders to endure this incomprehensible level of agony until their racked bodies and distorted souls just plain give out because they assuredly can endure no more. I mean, this is outrageous. Thomas More had got this right too. Thomas More was ahead of his time. Maybe Thomas More was a saint. Well,
He is a saint. But should he be? Well, there are going to be other things we'll treat in our next episode of Utopia. Give us more, Thomas More. And you'll have some more to think about. Hope you had a nice day. Goodbye.
Head out to the sea, crystal blue water surrounding me. Tap to the wind, taste the sea breeze. Tropical heaven on the coral sea. A little more rum, I think of my wife. What did I do? Have I ruined my life? Tell her I've changed, become a new man. I promise I will, and I know that I can. When did the skies change? When did they turn black? How am I ever gonna get myself back? The sea's now boiling and I'm getting cold. I've lost my sails, got to find a way home. Alone in my boat, I think of my wife. I'm lost in a drift on the high seas of life. Years from tomorrow, days from the land. Nothing can save me unless fate lends a hand. Storm, it is worse than I know. The wind and the waves are taking their toll. I look to the stars, there's none I can see. I'm afraid fate, she has answered me. Only moments my story will end. There was a story I wanted to send. Oh, how I dream for the calm of the sea. Beautiful face smiling back at me. The sea is boiling and I'm getting cold. I've lost my sails, got to find a way home. When did the skies change? When did they turn black? How am I ever gonna get myself back? Alone in my boat, I think of my wife. I'm lost in a drift on the high seas of life. When did the skies change? When did they turn black? How am I ever gonna get myself back? Alone in my boat, I think of my wife. I'm lost in a drift on the high seas of life.